hours at home with a good cold glass of Dr. Pepper. Oh, that's good rest. For others, it might be on the lake with a fishing pole in your hand. It might be a walk in the woods. It might be working in the garden. We might all consider all of those things rest. But I think in our world today, rest is often elusive. People don't know where to go to find it. Of course, we're speaking of rest in a spiritual term this morning. I read a Greek legend. According to this Greek legend, in ancient Athens, a man noticed the great storyteller Aesop, and he was playing some childish games with some children. He laughed at the storyteller and jeered him and why he was wasting his time in such frivolous activity. And Aesop responded by picking up a bow and loosening its string and placing it on the ground. And then he said to the critical Athenian, he said, "Now answer the riddle if you can. Tell us what the unstrung bow implies." The man looked at it for several moments and had no idea what point the storyteller was trying to make. So Aesop explained. He said, "If you keep the bow always bent, it will break eventually. But if you let it go slack, it will be more fit for use when you want it." People are like that at times. That's why we all need some time of rest. In the physical world, I get the idea, as Naomi said, "Shall I not seek rest for you?" Naomi could tell that Ruth was carrying a lot. Her life had kind of been a whirlwind up to this point. Chapter 2 was basically one day in the life, or a picture, encapsulation of one day in the life of Ruth. But you can imagine, as they made this journey from Moab and the leaving of her home and leaving of her homeland and attaching herself to her mother-in-law and then carrying the load of providing for herself and her mother-in-law, Naomi, Ruth needed some rest. Ruth has been living with the memories of a time when life perhaps seemed kinder, seemed simpler. There was a husband to love. There was a hope of children to raise. She was taken care of, and she had all the security a woman like her could ever need. She needed rest. She had no family in Bethlehem. She depended on Naomi for guidance and to understand this new and strange culture. And Naomi has taken and has assumed a very significant place in Ruth's life. And in this text, she notices, I think she notices, just as the storyteller said, that Naomi was in the need of some rest. Perhaps this has been you as an adult, and you've just gone, it seems, from whether it's one obligation, and it seems like all you're doing is, with children at home, all you're doing is driving kids from here to there, to here to there, to here to there. And then when you finally stop and take a breath, you finally begin to realize just how tired you are. Or maybe you're like the situation with Ruth, where it's perhaps, maybe it's a difficulty after a difficulty, after a trial, after a tragedy, and you've never stopped to take a breath. And then by the time someone says, "You look like you're about worn out," you look like, we might say it this way, you're just about to break. And you realize, need some rest. I think Naomi got some insight here, and she could tell that after all of these things that had happened in the life of Naomi, that she needed some rest. By this point in the account of the book of Ruth, I believe Ruth begins to resign herself to the idea that she's going to live out the rest of her life with Naomi, caring for her mother-in-law, required to shoulder the burden of caring not for just for herself, but for Naomi for years to come. And little does she know that she's about to enter a different kind of rest. She's about to have her burdens lifted, so to speak, and enter into a relationship that's going to change everything. And so just so we're clear, for Ruth, this rest was the rest of security. It was the rest of family. It was the rest of a home. For us this morning, I think it pictures something far, far better. I think it pictures something far more precious for us. Rest, for one thing, is a picture of what each of us found when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We found rest from trying to make it on our own, trying to work our way to whatever it might be. And we're reminded by Naomi's observance here, if we're tired, if we're weary, I know a place of rest for us this morning. Many are troubled, many are agitated in their souls and try to find rest in all of the wrong places, whether that's in a bottle or in a pill or in relationships or in pleasure or entertainment or a job or money. People will look everywhere to try in an effort to find rest for their souls. Naomi reminds us this morning, first of all, of the priority of rest. Naomi had the right priority when it came to this looking out for Ruth. And one commentator said, "The one that would seek rest for another is an essential principle in Scripture." He went on to point out that Christ didn't seek His own will. Charity, the Bible says, seeketh not her own. Galatians 6:2 reminds us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Former President Calvin Coolidge said, "No person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave." She's seeking to serve Ruth. She's understanding that Ruth needs this rest. She's willing to serve other people. Many don't want to serve today. Many just want to serve themselves. What we all serve something, whether it's idols of money or materialism or addiction or whatever it might be. Entertainment. God's made with our own hands. We are called as believers to remind people that God has created us to serve Him and to serve others. Following Jesus is an example of that. Naomi had her priorities right in that she was seeking the care of others. This was significant. When Naomi speaks of rest, she's speaking of the potential of a marriage. And as a Gentile, as a widow in Jewish society, Ruth would have had very few prospects for marriage. But Naomi's talking about a state in which Ruth can enjoy the security and peace that would accompany such a relationship, marriage. Rest here in this passage is a very expressive word. It has to do with being settled. It has to do with security, a settled spot. It has to do with a place of quiet, a place that's settled, a home. Naomi was desiring to provide Ruth with this rest. And that's what our world is after, security, to be settled. For Ruth, this would be found in this potential of a marriage relationship. And for today, the type of rest we're speaking at from the picture that we get in Scripture is only found in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the believer today, for us to find rest in a very unsettled and insecure world, in a very upside-down world, the only place for us to find rest is in an abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We find all throughout Scripture that the place of rest for the child of God is close to our Heavenly Father. The psalmist in Psalms chapter 23 calls Him the Lord. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." This same shepherd, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And He walks with me through the valley of the shadow of death. That implies a closeness. But it also implies a place of rest. Hebrews 12 reminds us that in order for us to run this race properly, there might be some things that need to be laid aside. The weights, he talks about, sin that does so easily beset us. Why? Why? So that we can run this race, so that we can abide closer to the Master, so we can have a place of rest. A favorite passage of Scripture of mine, more and more, is 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it talks about the temptations and the tribulations that we face. But right there in the middle of that verse, it seems like a storm swirling all around. Right in the middle of that verse, it says, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. As we seek and desire, as a child of God here today, I'd encourage us that our rest is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, in an abiding relationship with Him. Naomi recognized the seriousness of this rest and the significance of this rest. And many in our world look like they have it all together. It seems like they're doing well. They have all they need as far as they can see. But many don't consider that one day all of this is going to be over and we all will stand before the Lord. And humanity desperately needs a Savior. They desperately need the rest that's found in Jesus Christ because of our sinful condition, because of the condemnation that our sin brings. Unless we come to Christ, they're bound to live in spiritual darkness, destined for hell, separated from God. Matthew chapter 11, are you there? Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28? Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Familiar passage of Scripture, perhaps. And Jesus is speaking and He makes a wonderful invitation. He says, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And this world, often it's easy to be laden down, heavy laden, weighed down with the things of this world, the cares, the concerns of this world. I love the fact that Jesus calls us close to Himself and He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Look what He promises. He said, "And I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you," He says, "and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find" what? "Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Naomi understood the priority. There was a significance to this rest. There was a seriousness in this rest. There was a priority to it. She also understood, reminds us of the promise of rest. And Naomi is seeking it. Look in verse number 1 again. He says, "That it may be well with thee." This phrase simply means so that you can have it. So that you can have this rest. This idea of rest was full of promises for this stranger, this foreigner from Moab. It was the promise of hope. It was a promise of hope. We mentioned the definition of this word rest. It means a quiet place. I'm glad when it's a quiet place. I mean, I understand you have young people, you have kids, it can get kind of crazy. But there's usually a time of the day, whether it's right before bed or early in the morning, where there's some quiet. It's a quiet place. And if Ruth were to find such a place of hope, a place of quiet, a relationship like Naomi was talking about, she would find several things. She would find relief from her past. She would find release from her poverty. She would find release from her pain. Her worries about the future and her care would be taken care of. And instead of a dead-end life, there would be hope. There'd be hope. Not just an endless series of days trying to scratch out a living. She might actually find love. She might actually have children. She might actually find joy. That brought hope. That brought hope. I'm thankful for what we found when we found Jesus Christ, when we were saved. You know, apart from Christ, there is no hope. There is no rest. There's only separation. There's only condemnation. And in Christ, man, He still changes lives. He still can change lives forever. And in Christ, we find that we're loved, that we're forgiven. We can be forgiven. We can find peace and joy and hope. It's funny, we get to this idea of this hope and this quiet, and we might say, "Well, yeah, that's good for the lost people. The lost people need to know hope." But if you're in the world at all, if you're around the world at all, you'll find that there are a lot of believers today that don't have much hope. And meaning that their hope is placed in our society, and they don't have very much hope. I'd remind us this morning as a believer, as long as we are here on this earth, for one, God's given us a commission to fulfill, an opportunity to share the gospel with those we come in contact with. But I'm thankful that not just are we given our commission here on this earth, that Jesus has told us that we're to go into all the world, we're to preach the gospel, we're to show people how that they can be saved, but he also reminds us that we have hope because he didn't leave us here alone. Hebrews tells us that he promised he'll never leave us or forsake us. In the promise, in the Great Commission, Jesus begins the promise in Matthew chapter 28, saying, "All power is given unto me." And he tells us to go ye into all the world. And then you know how he ends the Great Commission? He said, "And lo, I will be with you always." Isn't that a wonderful promise? That ought to bring hope to the believer. We can't control how this world is going to turn out. I can't control how the world is going to treat me or how the world is going to treat you, but there are some wonderful promises in the Word of God that as a child of God, because I know our Heavenly Father, because I have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because I desire an abiding relationship with Christ, that I can have hope, I can have joy, I can have peace that passeth understanding. It's a wonderful promise. As a believer, we ought to have hope. It's a promise of security. For Ruth, this was the promise of a relationship, of a secure home, one who would love and provide for her, a husband who would care for her. And Naomi wanted all of these things for Ruth. She wanted her to have all these things. And it was a promise of a home. It was a place to settle down. A place to settle down. I'm thankful. If you can, I didn't ask you to do this earlier, but if you could turn quickly to John chapter 14. I love the interaction Jesus has in John 14 with his disciples. And they were worried and they were questioning. They were wondering what the future held and what was coming. And they obviously were troubled in John chapter 14, verse number 1. Peter has just asked the Lord, "Where you go, I'll go." And Peter said, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus has just told Peter in verse 38 of chapter 11 that he is, or chapter 13, excuse me, that he is going to deny him three times. And there was a troubling moment for the disciples. How do we know that? Well, he says that in verse number 1 of chapter 14. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm so thankful for the promise that we have of hope because of Jesus Christ. We have hope for our, not just our day-to-day living, not just to trudge through another day, another 40-hour work week, but he doesn't just promise hope, he promises us his presence with us. We could say it this way, he doesn't just promise us hope for the day-to-day, he promises us help as we go through the day. Some things that this security, this rest promised was hope and it was help. But I'm also thankful that this promise of rest also came with the promise of a home. Of a home. We don't really get a picture of where, excuse me, Ruth and Naomi lived. I'm assuming it's implied that they went back and lived in their land that they had before, because if the land would revert back to your family and all of these different things. But I'm also sure it was more than they could care for, more than they could take care of. So I'm sure that the house was getting a little bit out of control. Too much for them to handle. And here Naomi is noticing this, mentioning this idea of rest to Ruth. And with that promise comes the promise of a new home. a new home. Whether that be through marriage, a new home. I'm thankful that Jesus gave the disciples some encouragement. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He talked about their present relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He talked about a belief that would carry them through their life. Not just the day to day, but a hope through their life. And then he talked to them about the promise of heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And he gave him the key to that home. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm so thankful that this isn't the best there is for the child of God. I'm thankful for a home in heaven. The songs we sing often bring those thoughts to my mind. And what a day that will be. I often think of that one, or think of loved ones that's gone on before, family members. Because what a day that will be when we're in our heavenly home. What a day that I'm so thankful for the promise of a heavenly home. And that's the rest that we receive in Christ Jesus. The hope and the help for the here and now, but the promise of a home in heaven one day. Aren't you thankful for that? That's a wonderful promise. Look what Ruth, Naomi does even. She doesn't just give Ruth this idea. Man, Ruth, you look tired. You sure should get some rest. And then goes back on to whatever she's doing. No, she offers she understands the priority, the necessity, the need for rest in the life of Ruth, and the promise of rest that she desires this for her. But then she also is getting ready to lay out the potential. Where are they to find that rest? Well, she says, now is not Boaz of our kindred? Is not Boaz of our family? Not only does she have an idea about what Ruth needs, but she's got a person in mind. Now, this isn't a mother-in-law trying to play matchmaker here. No, actually, what she's doing is she's explaining to Ruth what Boaz actually was. If you look back in Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 20, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left of his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is, speaking of Boaz, near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. That word kinsman is a Hebrew word that means goel. And it might be easy to think that Naomi was plotting with Ruth to set a trap for this guy or to match make, but and to go to hunting down a man for Ruth. But actually what she's talking about was rooted in a very specific custom in Israel. The meaning is, and this word goel is sometimes translated kinsman redeemer. And had a specifically defined role in Israel's family life. The kinsman redeemer was responsible to buy a fellow Israelite out of slavery. The kinsman redeemer was to be the avenger of blood to make sure the murderer of a family member answered for his crime. The kinsman redeemer was to buy back family land that had been forfeited. The kinsman redeemer was to carry on the family name. She's reminding us of the potential. Potential. And guess what? Boaz met all these criteria. He had the right reputation. He was a good man. His character is listed for us in Ruth chapter 2, verse number 1. He had the right relationship. He had the right resources. He could do all of that. He had the right resolve. He'd already proved that he was interested in caring for Ruth's needs. He gave to her freely. He was kind and compassionate in his dealings to her. He gave her a standing invitation to glean in his field. She was accepted. She was no longer a foreigner and a stranger. She was accepted. I'm so thankful this morning that we find that same rest in Jesus Christ, because all of those things that the kinsman redeemer was to do physically in Israel, the cross did for us. The cross did for us. The kinsman redeemer bought us out of slavery to sin. I'm so thankful for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the fact in Scripture where it talks about the kinsman redeemer as the avenger of blood. I'm thankful that we can trust our God to fight our battles for us. We can rest in Him and allow Him to be God and to fight our battles for us. I'm thankful for Him, for our God who desires that we be free from sin and free from the temptations all around us, and teaches us how that we can be free from them. And the cross was designed to show us He loves us. He's done everything He can to show us that He desires a relationship with us, to free us, allow us to walk with Him. He offers us rest. He offers us rest. So this morning, I remind us that many today, even Bible-believing Christians, are anxious and troubled. And though they saved, I never would question that. They're in turmoil, fearful and doubting. They seem to be continually burdened by life's problems. This morning, I'd ask this question: are you at rest? I'm not talking about physical rest, although we need that at times. It's good for us. I'm talking about spiritual rest. Is all well between you and the Lord today? Have you entered into that relationship that brings His rest into your life? Have you truly been saved today? A child of God, we can know this rest. I mentioned it earlier. Psalms 23 talks about a rest in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. A rest in a faithful God. 1 Corinthians 10 reminds us of the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 reminds us of the comforting nature of God. He comforts us in all our tribulations so that we can comfort those who go through tribulation. Have we learned to rest in Him? Are you weary and tired? Weary from the storms of life, worn out trying to serve Him in your own flesh, weary from the burdens of sin? I remind you, there's rest in Jesus that might require some reconciliation, that might require a return to Him, that might require some repentance, might require us taking refuge in Him. While people all around us, our world all around us, run from here to there trying to find peace, trying to find rest, Jesus says simply and calmly, He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There is a place of rest. There's a place of quietness. There's a place of peace, and His name is Jesus. He invites us to come and find rest for our souls. People are looking. They're seeking, they're struggling, only searching to find what only Christ can give. There's a place of rest for the weary soul, a place of rest in Jesus. And Jesus invites us to enter into that place. Would you stand with me this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? And I think it'd take care of a lot of things in our lives and our hearts if we just learned how to rest, how to abide in Him, how to abide close to Him, how to abide in His presence. Maybe you're here today and the Lord's been working on your heart and you've never received Jesus Christ. You've never known that rest that you know through salvation by grace through faith. You can know that rest today. Today, don't leave this place without knowing for sure that heaven is your home, that Christ is your Savior. Don't leave today without making that all-important, life-changing decision. Heavenly Father, be with the few moments that we spend in examining our hearts before You. May we be honest this morning as we do that. Continue to speak to our hearts, drawing us to a place of worship this morning as we look and seek and desire. And perhaps many this morning are longing for that place of rest. Remind us. Thank You for reminding us this morning that's found at Your feet. We're thankful for that. Be with a few moments we examine our hearts before You honestly and openly. In Jesus' name, amen.